Good afternoon. Welcome to the Tulsa Workshop. Our speaker this afternoon is Jeff Walling. His topic is The Power to Unseal the Lips of the Silent Believer. Love speaks. Before he begins, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us, and we thank you, Father, for the work and effort that's gone into putting this workshop together. Father, we pray for a prayer of thanks for the people that have driven hours to be there, be here, help their time to be valuable, help them to go away renewed and refreshed. Father, we pray for Jeff that he will speak your words. Father, we invite you here to be with us this afternoon, and we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Well, it continues to be a beautiful day here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We are always grateful for the weather as I rode over here in a little bass boat. I'm reminded of the many times that we've gathered here. There's been times when the weather's been really warm and times when it's been colder. But the good news is it's the fellowship that really keeps us warm in here together. Can I get an amen on that? Good deal. It's all it is. It's just good to be together. I need to start, let's see, first let me answer a quick question somebody asked. They said, this new thing you've got on finding path to financial peace, Jeff, is this for teens or for adults? It certainly was presented to adults, but what I've had is families use this together, watch it together to kind of help get their teens tuned in to what it really means to put God first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there is even a budget form in there. My wife, it's funny, I was talking with her about this, and she said, I think this is some of the best stuff you've done. I said, you really mean that? And she said, well, I think it's what you need the most anyway. She's the calculator one in our world. I'm the joy of life person in our world. So for all those of you who are married to calculators, they will love this. And most importantly, if we come to Jesus, we have to bring our wallet with us. You can't leave your wallet home and bring Jesus everything else. The good news is it will bring you great joy and peace when you finally do decide to put him first in all areas of your life. Jesus taught more about money than any single other topic. More than heaven, more than hell, more than faith, more than prayer. And it has certainly been impactful for me in my life. So that's why I'm so excited about it. Again, booth 706, Oklahoma Christian University booth, and I'll be over there right after class for a few minutes to say hey. We had a dumb joke contest in our house the other night. I know it would be a shock that I would ever take part in telling corny or dumb jokes, but my son was home from college, one of the boys, and they got to telling these really just, you know, they started off with things like, is it true that if you carry a flashlight through the swamp in Louisiana, an alligator won't bite you? And, of course, the end of that is, well, it all depends on how fast you carry the flashlight. Or about the paranoid dyslexic who was constantly afraid that he might be following someone. Take your time on that. What do you call a cow that won't give milk? An utter failure. What do you call a cow with no legs? Ground beef. What do you call a dachshund in Alaska? Is a pupsicle. What do you call a dog who sues its master for not having linens on its doggy bed? That's a shih tzu. But then one of the guys said, well, you know, I had a deaf dog. And we got off on really, the dog that could not hear. And, of course, somebody had to ask, what do you call a deaf dog? And the answer is, it doesn't matter what you call him because it ain't coming. Now, at that moment, we were all kind of bothered by the guy that said that, but then it stuck in my mind. What do you call a Christian who will not answer the call of God to share their faith? What does God call a believer who's not listening to him? Doesn't matter what he calls them, they ain't coming. We need to deal for the next few minutes with what for many people may be their greatest guilt trip. And that is, how is it that I can be so faithful in Bible reading or church attendance or being willing to take time in prayer, but I'm not the evangelist that I need to be? Punch that button, Ramsey, and let's walk through this for a minute. I want to give you a simple presentation that I call Love Speaks. Keep going, the next one, if you would, brother. You know, we have a little dog, and our little dog is an escape artist. Anybody here have an escape artist dog that you have to keep them in the yard or in the house because if they get out, soof, they are gone. Our little dog has some kind of doggy Alzheimer's because he forgets how loved and cared for he is at our house. We love and care for this little dachshund. Mama gets him just the kind of food he likes. We make sure that he's got a little doggy bed. But as soon as the door is cracked, soof, that dog is down the street and we go running after it. Now, the dog does not know its name. We've had this dog for 6 years and called it its name every day since we named it, but the dog does not know its name. The dog, however, does recognize certain words. Treat. My buddy said you should have named the dog Treat. Because when you holler, treat, Rusty, treat, it doesn't know Rusty, but treat, it knows. Now, unfortunately, every other dog on the block has the same Alzheimer's. So whenever we hear somebody yell, treat, 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 we know somebody's dog is out, right? Now, what's interesting is the moment that this dog, as he's running down the street, freedom, 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 you can see it in its eyes, and I'm running behind, treat, and she freezes. And turns, and it's like I can see the dog thinking. Because in the dog's eyes, the dog is saying, ooh, treat, oh, freedom. Ooh, treat, oh, freedom. And in a half a second, freedom, and zoom, you know, it's gone. And I holler again, treat, and it goes through the same thing all over again. But if it can actually see the treat, because I think it does have certain kind of memories, it knows that I have fooled it before. Treat, 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 you know. But if it can actually see the dog biscuit, then I hold it out like this, slowly walking up to the little dog. Because what do I have behind my back? The leash. This the dog does not remember. Because if it did, it would know I never give it a treat when it runs away. I just dangle the treat. And when I get down close enough, boom, leash. And then I walk it back to the house. You think I'm giving you a tongue lashing? Will you get yourself back in here? No, Daddy says no when Daddy calls. You're supposed to come. All the neighbors just look the other way. Preacher's cussing out his dog again. You get your little self back in here. You want this treat? No way. You get back in that house. Now, brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you there are those of us who think that's what evangelism is. We're out there with a holy dog biscuit of heaven saying, treat, 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 treat. And as soon as they get close enough to say, yeah, we say, ha, Wednesday nights. Yeah. Get your little self back in that building. What do you think you're doing? You don't get this now. You get this when you die. Now you get back in there. And I don't blame you if that's been your vision of what evangelism is, that it's not very much fun. Because after a while, people start knowing you're saying treat, 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 and they see, I see the leash. You want me to come to church. You want me to tithe. You want me to go to VBS. You want me to help with work camp. You want me to, and I say, oh, you're right. So I go looking for somebody else who hadn't seen it. Treat, 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 leash. What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this whole concept? I'm convinced that I somehow got to think that my approach to evangelism was all about me cornering someone, trapping someone, convincing someone. And I guess I'm not alone. Because there are even some evangelistic methods and programs out there that absolutely scare me. For instance, I don't know, punch the button and see if this video comes up. We'll need sound on this for sure, guys. Hang on, let's let the guy at the sound table there get this. And let's roll it and see if it happens.
Turn the sound up. Here at the National Institute for Student Ministries, we've discovered a new method of evangelism that is shaking the very foundation of our thinking. We're amazed at this revolutionary idea, especially designed to boost student evangelism.
All right, it's all you. This house has got your name on it.
I'm not ready yet.
What makes you think I'm ready, though?
Fear of rejection, for example.
Let me talk to you about fear. Fourth and one, Jerry Rice, what you gonna do? That don't compare to fourth and one in eternity.
It doesn't matter who rejects us because we're always accepted by Christ.
God loves you. Get off the flow and go door to door.
Thanks to the evangelism linebacker, campus evangelism nationwide is up 87%.
Hey, I can't go to the outreach today. I just got some more important things I gotta do. Hey man, give me a break. I went to church on Sunday. I gotta go.
Selfishness? The world needs a message. For God so loved the world, it wants to communicate it through you. If you procrastinate, you will open up the gate to a beatdown. Give me that phone, boy.
When I see selfishness, it is my job to blow them up.
What's up, baby girl? Nah, I'm busy.
Can we talk to you for a minute?
I'm a lover, not a fighter, baby.
He loves you, but it might hurt. Ouch. Are you ready for game day?
All right. Let me make sure you understand the evangelism linebacker is booked every Sunday this year. It seems like we all just need somebody, you know, if nothing else, just have somebody beat me into it. And so I've done that to myself for years. Whether it was a guilt trip or singing one more time, you never mentioned him to me. I found that even somebody bringing up evangelism at times just, ugh. And I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to enjoy this. Oh, now let me make sure you understand. I love seeing people brought to Jesus Christ. But it's that thought of saying, all right, how am I going to get out there and get it done? That left me at times feeling empty. And if I felt that way, certainly the folks I was preaching and teaching with struggled with it as well. But then I came across these words of Christ. Pardon me, these words of Christ, but from Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he says this. If we're out of our minds, it's for the sake of God. Punch that button again there. If we are in our right mind, it's for you. For Christ's love compels us. Can we say it together? For Christ's love compels us. Because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I'm convinced that the missing piece in most of our evangelistic needs is not training or methods, but is one word. It's love. In fact, I've decided that the most evangelistic chapter in all of Scripture that I want to devote some time to with you is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Ramsey, go to the next slide if you would. And I want you to open up the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I know, this is the wedding chapter. This is the love chapter. By the way, this is the most ridiculous verse to be read at a wedding, I have to confess. It begins with this whole thing about speaking in tongues and of men and of angels and the sounding gong or the clanging cymbal. This is actually very ironic, sarcastic language Paul uses. Because Paul begins not with a hug, but with a slap, saying, "May I have your attention, please? If you only get one part of this letter, get this. What's the most important thing for you to do to please God?" Everybody say love. Great, you can be dismissed. Thank you. End of class. Paul said, no, they didn't get it. Tell them again. What's the most important thing for you to do to please God? Paul says, now here's the thing. When it comes to evangelism, forget evangelism until you get the love thing going. Because love will speak. But if we speak without love, what does Paul say? Well, the Greek for it is, shut up. He says, if you're not speaking with love, you're like a clanging cymbal. And I don't know if you've ever noticed what happens when somebody starts banging a cymbal. Man, it's like I want to get back. He says, if you don't have any love, It profits nothing. If you don't have any love, hush up. Unfortunately, I have often gone out not thinking about love, but thinking about my speech. Not thinking about love, but rather thinking about how can I convince this person. I've had to repent of that. Evangelism is not a debate. Evangelism is not a forensic exercise. Evangelism is not an arm-twisting session. Evangelism is love speaking. Because if I love you enough, I will speak. And the whole room says. So the first thing I start now when I talk, somebody says, man, I'm just struggling with my evangelism. I say, forget evangelism. Let's talk about love. How are you doing about loving people? Jesus, of course, said, love your neighbor as yourself. He told the disciples, this is the command that I give you. I want you to love others, even as I've loved you. And he said, I've loved you as the Father's loved me. So this deep, holy love is the first domino that sets the whole thing in motion. How are you at being a great lover? Now, that phrase may make you uncomfortable, especially if your wife is giggling right now. But I want to ask how you're doing at being a great lover to the people you run into. To the waitress wherever you'll eat tonight. The busboy. To the folks at the gas station. To the people over in the expo center. To folks who are in front of you wanting the parking spot that you want. How's that love going for you? We've had deals where we've tried to get folks to invite their neighbors to church. I've given up on that. I now say, I want you to go home, and this week I want you to love your neighbor. Do something good for them. Surprise them. Don't back over their pansies. Do get their mail and drop it off for them at their front door when they're there. Do stop and say, how are things going? And ask them, how's your mama? Do look for something that you could do on your side of the house that would make it less an eyesore for them. If one of their bushes is dead, take it out and replace it. You're saying, wait a minute, Jeff, what are you talking about? Paul says that the key to our relationships is all about us learning to love. And I will challenge you that if you've got somebody you're struggling to share Jesus with, just make a 30-day commitment to do something loving for them every single day, and doors will open. Anybody who's ever been there, say amen. Amen. Let me tell you what, I am so much more willing to listen to somebody who loves me. Somebody who doesn't love me can honk their horn at me or yell at me or say mean things. But my sweet wife who loves me, I can have 80 people tell me on a Sunday morning that was the best sermon they ever heard in their life. Shake my hand and say, that changed my life. Oh my goodness, thank you, Jeff. And I get in the car and on the way home, I say to Catherine, well, how was the worship for you this morning? She says, fine. Fine. What'd you think of the sermon? It was okay. Okay. Not life-changing, not best thing you've ever heard. I don't say this out loud, of course. After 25 years, I just keep driving. And she knows in the silence what she's done. Her love for me makes her words so important that somebody could tell me all kinds of good things, but all I want to hear from my wife is her approval. Is everybody with me on this? Now, folks, think about what happens when I commit not to convert my neighbor, but to love the fire out of my neighbor. Not to convert my teacher, but to love the fire out of my teacher. Because, by the way, the Holy Spirit does the convicting and converting. Amen. My job is to do the loving. Let the Holy Spirit convict and convert. I'm going to start with the loving. Now, I made a presentation like this, got through the first session, had somebody come up to me and say, Jeff, I'm really worried about this. Because it sounds like you're saying we don't need to share Christ. Absolutely not. What I am saying is we've got to start with love, not start with the gospel. Because if I preach a gospel and I am unloving, I have proved to them what I'm saying is false. If I preach a gospel and I am without love, it profits me what? And it teaches them to be a hypocrite. That's like the fat guy working at Jenny Craig. It just doesn't work, okay? If you walk in and the guy selling the health supplements is a mess, you go to another store. First time a buddy of mine tried to get me to go to Gold's Gym with him, I said, give me a break. I said, you know, I don't want to go. He said, why? He said, I know what all those guys look like. He says, what, you want to go to a gym with people that look like you? He said, they don't have those kind of gyms. They're called restaurants. He said, don't you want to look like that? And I said, well, you know. He said, doesn't your wife want you to look like that? Yeah, shut up, let's go. He was right. If I walk into a gym and the trainer looks like me, man, I can do that without the barbells. I can do that without the treadmill. Brothers and sisters, if we share the gospel as unloving people, we've just taught folks how to be hypocrites. So, vow number one, hush up until you love. Which means we better get on this loving deal. Can I get it? Oh, yeah. That means I've got to make it my life goal to love the fire out of all the people around me. Because watch what, punch it again, Ramsey. Watch what happens when you do. Love, three things about love, and it's yours. Love cannot keep silent. If you start loving someone, you will begin to share with them. Punch the button again. Love can't keep silent because love knows too much truth. Paul says, have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? I don't know whether fear or apathy or doubt has sealed your lips. Love will unseal them because love cannot hold back the good stuff. Everybody say, oh yeah? You let somebody you really love tell you, man, I tell you, we've had these x-rays. Listen, I know a good doctor. You need to call so-and-so. You go to a really great movie. I mean, a movie that you come out and you go, wow-wee. Now, I got to admit, there's things in the movie that I did not love, but I have to say, I came out of Slumdog Millionaire. I was blown away. It was a really powerful film. On the way home from the movie theater, I'm already on my cell phone calling a couple of friends. And then I remembered a guy I had to call. 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, a radio station in our city ran a promotion. This radio station is 91.9, and they gave you 91.9 seconds of free gas. Now, they ran this last year when the gas prices were really high. And I remember that a buddy of mine called me up on the cell phone and said, Jeff, did you hear about it? And I hadn't heard about it. He said, quick, get over there, man. For the next hour, they're doing this. You've got another 48 minutes to get over there. I said, thank you, man. I whipped out. I drove our big vehicle. I got it over there. I filled up with gas. On the way out, I called Carlos back and said, dude, thank you. I can't believe it. I thought he was joking. Sure enough, 91.9 seconds of gas. And last year, that was like $150 worth of gas pumping into my car. I called Carlos and I said, thank you so much. He said, yeah, man. And I hung up the phone and I'm driving along and I pull into my house and I see Blair across the street. And I say, hey, dude, guess what? And I tell him the story and he had one question for me. Guess what the question was? And I stood there. And he just said, well, I know who you love. Ouch. Ouch, he's right. Because you know who I did call on the way home? My wife. Honey, get your car and get over here quick. Love will not keep silent when it knows there's something good. Now, I put the next button there, brother. I'm a real visual person, and it will be easy for me to show you this than tell this, and I've been looking forward to this part of the lesson. We got anybody that loves chocolate chunk cookies? Man, these are I have got the best. Whoa, these are good. And they're even soft. Brother, come here for a minute, would you? Take the stairs. Come right up here with me. Oh, dude. I'm Jeff. What's your name, man?
Fernando.
Thank you so much for taking time to come up here. Dude, here. Smell that. Is that so good? Thank you. These are good. Now, everybody knows what just happened, right? You could not believe that. And you're thinking, okay, he's going to give him one. Come here, man. Just feel how soft they are. Isn't that good? They are so good. Thanks, bro. Now, here's the deal. I mean, you everybody knows where I'm heading with this. Y'all already there, aren't you? We have the best news in the world. Can I get an amen? There is nothing sweeter, nothing more wonderful than the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Do we have plenty? Excuse me? Or am I worried about running out? Dude, look at this. I got. I don't know if I showed you. I got like a whole dealy of these. Ooh, they're good. All right, now, you're saying to yourself, I can't believe how rude, I can't believe how untoward. Let me give you something really, really simple, folks. If the first thing I'm doing is I am loving my brother, if the first thing on my mind is that I'm loving him, the second thing that's on my mind is, dude, have I told you how good these are? They're delicious. I can't wait to eat this one. And so we get together in our buildings and we let each other smell our cookies. Isn't that good? Yes, good. That's good. Amen. That's good. Bye. And we get them in the car and we take them home. And I bring them back the next Sunday. Now, if a visitor knows enough to show up and say the right words, they might get in my box. But if I really do care, I cannot eat all these myself. Is everybody with me on this? Now, let's talk about the difference between giving away cookies and putting a leash on somebody. Now, and you know what he's doing? Because he's on camera. Real love shares the good stuff. Now, when I give away the good stuff, here's the key. I am not saying, all right, here's the 16 things you got to do. Let me just tell you how good my Jesus is. Let me just tell you that when my dad died and I stood by his bedside and I thought my world was over, my Lord walked me through. Let me tell you that when my second child was in neonatal intensive care for 10 days and we did not know if we were going to bring home a baby or plan a funeral, my God was with me as I drove my wife home from the hospital while she was holding a teddy bear that they had given her because they could not send a baby with her. Let me tell you, when 2 years ago I got a call at my office from one of my boys from a hospital where on the way home from college, he and his brother together, just outside of Oklahoma City, had had a flat tire and because of it had gone into the guardrail, had flipped into the center median and three times had flipped that Camry over and it had landed upside down. And he said, Dad, we're in the hospital. We've had a car accident. And my heart is in my throat. I've got these calls from other people. Just at our church, the year before that, two college-age kids going down the highway, flip a car. And one of them is in rehab for 6 months and, bless his heart, will never be again what he had been physically because of brain injury. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you that my Lord has given me a promise no matter what I face, no matter what kind of difficulties. And by the way, praise God, both of my boys walked away from that accident. And they took them to the hospital to make sure they were okay. And indeed, they were. And I know as I tell that story, it's bittersweet because there's some of you who got the call and it didn't end up that way. But brothers and sisters, whether it ends in the hospital with death or whether it ends with going home with celebration, one day it will end for us. And when we go home, it will be a celebration. Amen. Now here's the deal. My Jesus gives me all that. And love tells the good stuff. Jesus says in Mark chapter 5 to the demoniac in the 19th verse, he says, here's what I want you to, press the button there, Ramsey, see if we can get to it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tell what the Lord has done for you. Go home to your family and tell him how much the Lord has done for you. By the way, some of you have heard me tell before, I still think the simplest method of all, especially for teaching your kids, punch the button again, Ramsey, we'll walk through these kind of quick, are three letters for the word SWAT, how to start a conversation about Jesus. Again, just a second of method if you'll let me do this. Can I do it real fast? When a loving person really cares about somebody else, they're listening for moments to give them cookies. They're listening for moments to share good stuff. So when somebody says, oh man, I'm having a difficulty. I faced this kind of challenge or that kind of challenge. I have started, I can't tell you how many conversations with this sentence. Well, there's only one thing gets me through a time like that. Try saying it. There's only one thing that gets me through a time like that. One more time. There's only... It's so simple. Somebody can say, oh man, we've got to make a move, or I've just lost my job, or they might even say, oh my goodness, we're excited, we're getting to move, or we've just had a new baby. And I say, man, there's only one thing that gets me through a time like that. And what are they going to say? What is it? And what they don't know is they just said, please tell me about this Jesus that loves you so much. Starting a conversation means I am ready. Second, the W stands for witness. My beginning is not about what Jesus wants them to do. My beginning is about what Jesus has done for me. That's what Andrew did when he went and got Peter and said, come, you got to see this guy. That's what Philip did when he goes and get Nathaniel. Come, you got to see this. This is the one we've been looking for. I've got some cookies. These are so good. But my movement didn't teach me the word witness. In fact, for the longest time, I thought that was a Baptist word. Because in the Church of Christ, we don't witness. I mean, only when we're called on and testify in court. But other than that, in church, if I was growing up, somebody said, can I get a witness? I'm thinking, what's the crime? I have no clue. But my other religious friends were all over this word witness. And I came to the party a little late, but I'm telling you what, we need to make up for it. Whatever word you want to use, testify, witness, tell what good God has done for you. We ought to be billboards saying, God has been very, very good to me. And the whole church said, amen. Now, here's the deal. If you don't know what he's done for you, then back the truck up a little, Charlie. And let's talk about that. Well, God's been good to me. Really? How? What's God ever done for you? Are you able to share it? And it's got to be more than, well, he gives me a place to go every Sunday at 10 o'clock. It's got to be more than he puts something on my schedule on Wednesdays at 7. What has the Lord done for you? You ever practice giving your witness? Can you do it in a minute or two? If I said, right now, turn to the person next to you and share with them how God has been good to you, would you know where to start? I rattled off three different stories that I often use in my life on planes, trains, and in automobiles when I get a chance to say, "That's man, I tell you this, nothing gets me through like this one thing. There's one thing gets me through a time like, what is it, sir?" And I get to say, as I did on a plane just a couple of days ago, well, best thing I can do is tell you a story, and I tell them a story. I tell them a story of walking through my father's death or my son's infant problems or dealing with my mom's illnesses or the accident with my boys. And I always come down the same spot. God has been so good to me. And I don't have to worry anymore about what's going to happen because I have peace that he will see me through. And I haven't mentioned the word baptism, but let me tell you, we're closer to talking about that than we ever would have been if I'd have sat down and said, "Hi, are you going to hell?" Witnessing is telling what the Lord's done for you. Then the A and the T of the SWAT are for asking and listening to them as they share, and T, telling the gospel. Starting a conversation, giving your witness, asking the right questions, and telling the gospel. And that's, many of you have heard me do that presentation. For those that haven't or need it, that's on the, there's a DVD that teaches kids how to do that and adults. But the principle I want to get to is that the SWAT, the W, is what I had launched over, forgetting love always shares the cookies. That means there's one of two reasons why you're not sharing the cookies. One, you don't think the cookies are that good. My son heard me do this and he said, "Dad, you got that part wrong. I always share bad cookies." If you don't think the cookies are that good, you won't give them to somebody you love. And second, if they're really good cookies and you ain't giving them, then you don't love. So we're all the way back to domino number one, aren't we? You see, if I truly love someone, I cannot keep silent and I will share the good stuff with them. By the way, when you're doing your testimonies, be brief, be personal, and give all the glory to God. And the whole church said, amen. Number three, finally, love tells the truth. You know, turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Listen for a second. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. What a great descriptor of how to be a loving evangelist. Patient, kind, not looking for something for yourself, not proud. But it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Now, at this point, I'm thinking, man, oh, man, if I'm going to be, you know, be careful and I'm not going to hurt their feelings, can I still tell them the truth? Look what Paul includes here. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the what? You see, when I delight in the truth, then I cannot sit by for a lie. Love won't sleep with a lie. Ramsey, punch the next couple of these. Which of these are lies that you found yourself sleeping with? One more if you would, bro. What about this one? Punch it again. Or maybe this one. If I start by loving you, love your neighbors, you love yourself. If I then speak and I share the cookies, let me tell you how good my God has been to me. Then we get down to the moment where I do need to speak out about what's real. God is serious. Your choices matter. May I tell you about Jesus? And isn't it strange that for me, I've been drawn back to the simplest way of telling folks about Christ. I'll actually open up my Bible to the third chapter of the book of John, and yes, the 16th verse. There are four verbs that I have come to love. The first two are what God did. I'll read the gray, you read the red. Are you ready? Here we go. For God so... Now, who's the greatest lover in all the universe? God is. He loves us from the beginning. He loves us totally. He loves us fully. He loves us completely. You can't make God love you any more than He does right now. Isn't that amazing? Even if you go to church and are faithful, even if you went and became a missionary in Uganda, Afghanistan, China, or Connecticut, you're not going to make God love you any more than He does already. Even if you gave all your money to missions, even if you did everything perfectly, God's not going to love you any more than He does right now. God loves you just like you are. He just doesn't want you to stay that way. Amen? In fact, He loves you too much for you to stay that way. For God so the world that He... Now note the first two things here are that God has loved and God has given. Evangelism is not about our work. It is about His work. Evangelism is not what you need to do. It is a recognition of what God has done. Evangelism is letting God love you. So when I share Love Speaks, I first decide I'm going to love you and I put my love into action. I share my cookies and tell you the good stuff God's done for me. And when I finally get a chance, I get to tell you what God's done for you. Did you know there are two things God did for you? He loved you, but He didn't stop with loving. He gave His Son for you. Another way I sometimes talk about this is there's folks who care and folks who can. I was at the airport the other day. Amazingly, I was running just a little late. I got to the airport, ran up and said, I need a boarding pass. And she said, I'm sorry, sir, the machine's cut off at 30 minutes till. I said, please, I've got to have a board. I'm sorry, sir, there's nothing. Sir, and she finally waved her hands in the air as if to say, look, I can't. Now, the lady, I think, really cared. She was a person who cared, but a person who couldn't. I looked around and said, may I see the supervisor, please? You know what I was looking for? Somebody who can. Sure enough, supervisor walked over. Yes, sir. I said, is there any way I've got to get blah, 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 blah. And slowly the supervisor folded his arms. You know what? He was a person who could. But he didn't care. He said, sir, we have these rules for a reason. He started giving me a little sermon. And I thought, buddy, I can do that myself. After 2 minutes of his song, yes, sir, understand. Yes, sir, should have been here earlier. I'm sorry. I was waiting for him to sing Just As I Am, and I'd have repented right there. He explained the rules to me, blah, 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 and I knew the guy had the ability. He could, but he didn't care. I said, I totally understand. Thank you. And I waited, and a little brunette, a little older than me, had been watching this whole thing, had heard me, and I think I'd kind of been nice. I hadn't been rude. And she said, "May I see your ticket?" Walked over, handed her my ticket. She smiled at me. She said, "You're going to go do something good?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'm supposed to." She said, "Fine, hush up." She handed me a boarding pass. I said, "Ma'am, this is a boarding pass for the next flight." She said, "I know, but you know what that'll do? That'll get you through security. Then you get your little self back to the gate where your flight is, and you say to them you'd like to go on that flight, which you originally scheduled on. And they will take it, and they will put you on there because I'm holding a seat for you. Goodbye." I wanted to hug her neck because she was someone who cared and someone who can. I know a lot of people who care. Oh, wish I could help you. And I know some people who can. Too bad. But I love it when I meet somebody who cares and somebody who can. Now let me tell you about my God. He's a God who cares and He's a God who can. He is a God who loves you and He is a God who has the ability to deal with your problems. For God so loved the world, He didn't just say, "Well, I care, good luck." He said, "And I can. I can give you my son. I can give you hope. I can set you free." And He did. You say, "Yay for those two verbs." What are the other two verbs? You're not going to be surprised. Because the other two verbs are that whoever in Him shall not perish, but our two verbs are believe and have. I start by saying, here's the simple truth. If you believe what I just told you, you can have eternal life. I'm not selling it. It's a gift. God's giving it away. And that's where I begin to simply tell them the truth about Jesus. Somebody said, "With just John 3:16, there it is. What about baptism?" Brother, once you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and make Him your Lord, you do whatever He tells you to do. I don't fuss with people about baptism. I talk to them about Jesus. And once they believe in Jesus, then they get baptized because of Jesus, not because of Jeff Walling, not because I talked to them or explained them. So my Christ, that's fine. And I'm not putting down baptism. My Christ focus gets me to baptism a whole lot easier than a baptism focus, which brings Christ in on the back end. Why is this baptism so important? Nobody should ever ask that question. Because if they do, I've talked to them about baptism and not about Jesus. And why do I talk to them about Jesus? One word starts with an L, ends with of. Take your time. That's exactly right. I talk to him about Jesus because he's the sweetest thing I've ever had. And I share the good stuff. It's not complex. But here's the trick. And it's not a trick. Here's the key. Stop thinking about converting, fixing, grabbing, leash. Start thinking, "Okay, God, who do you want me to love today? Can I love the person here in front of me in the supermarket? Can I love the person that's checking me out? Can I love the fellow that's cutting my hair? Can I love my neighbor?" Jesus says, "Oh, yes, you can. And I'll give you the love to do it with." But what about when it's tough? What about difficult and frustrating times? Tony Dungy taught me a lot about this. It's been 4 years now since this great football coach lost his son. But he didn't lose his son in a car wreck. His son didn't die in a hospital. Tony Dungy, this great winning football coach, Super Bowl champ, leader of the Colts. Punch the button, there's a picture there. He lost his son, and this is a video, so if you bring the sound up. He lost his son when he committed suicide. And then gave this speech less than 2 months later to a Christian group. Listen to what he has to say about this heartache in his life.
"And sometimes pain is the only way that'll turn us as kids back to the Father. So we've learned a lot about that from my oldest son, James. As you heard, James would have been 19, but he died right before Christmas. James was a Christian, and he was by far the most sensitive, the most compassionate of all our boys. Very, very compassionate, very sensitive. As most teenage boys today, James was getting a lot of messages from the world that maybe that's not the way to be. And you've all seen them on TV, in the movies, the music they listen to, the magazines that they're able to read. And you get those conflicting signals and mixed signals. And he was struggling very much with how you should respond to the world. And he ended up taking his life right before Christmas. And it was tough. It was very, very painful. But as painful as it was, there were some good things that came out of it. When I was at the funeral, I talked about one of my biggest regrets. James was home for Thanksgiving and was leaving, going back to school and going back to work. And just a normal process. You don't think about it. I said, hey, I'll see you later. My daughter took him to the airport. We just exchanged a, you know, see you later. And that was the last time I saw him. Talked to him on the phone a lot, but never saw him again. And I shared at the funeral that my biggest regret was that I didn't give him a big hug the very last time I saw him. I met a guy the next day after the funeral, and he said, you know, I was there. I heard you talking. I took off work today. I called my son, and I said, I'm going to take you to the movies, and we're going to spend some time and go to dinner. I've gotten a lot of letters like that from people who have heard what I said and said, hey, you brought me a little closer to my son or a little closer to my daughter, and that is a tremendous blessing. We were able to donate some of James' organs to the Organ Donors Program. Got a letter back about 2 weeks ago that two people had received his corneas and now can see. That has been a tremendous blessing. So all those things have kind of made me realize what God's love is all about. But here's the biggest part of that. I know in my heart that James's death has affected many people and benefited many people, and that makes me feel better. But I also know this. If God had had a conversation with me and said, I can help some people see, I can heal some relationships, I can save some people's lives, I can give some people eternal life, but I have to take your son to do it, you make the choice. I know how I'd have answered that. I'd have said, no, I'm sorry. As great as all that is, I don't want to do that. And that's the awesome thing about God. He had that choice. And he said, yes, I'm going to do it 2,000 years ago with his son Jesus on the cross. And because he said yes, because he made the choice that I wouldn't make as a parent, that's paved the way for us to come back into relationship with him.
Because he said yes. Because he loved us so. Bow with me. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we want to be better lovers. We want to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our co-workers, to love those around us. God, it's not that we don't know the scriptures. It's not that we don't know the story. Father, let us love that others might know how much you love them. We pray this in Christ's holy name, and all that agree say, amen. A Tony Dungy clip is from the little series called Baggage Claim. And every time I hear that, I thank God, help us to be the kind of people, when we go through tough times, what we come back to is, God's love will see me through. And when people say, how in the world do you do that? You get to share with them a cookie. And the whole church said, amen. I'll be over at the OCU booth for a few minutes. May God bless you. Go be loving to each other. Thank you.